Welcome to the Steady Hand Podcast. I'm Scott Ronalds, joined with Tom Bradley. In today's session, we're going to discuss the second quarter of 2009. We've both got our recently published Q2 report in front of us, which we'll be using as reference. Now, Tom, why don't I pass it over to you for some high-level comments on the quarter?
Scott, the second quarter of 2009 was one we've been waiting for feels like too long. All markets were good. Bonds were great. We're going to talk about that in context of the income fund. And equities around the globe had a really good, strong rally. And I think it's interesting from a couple of perspectives. One is just how far we've come. 2 months ago or 3 months ago now, people were worried that we were going to not have a recovery. We might have a banking crisis, and nobody wanted to buy investments. Very quickly, we've come up 30, 40%. And now people don't want to buy because they think it's gone too far too fast and that we're ahead of the economy. And indeed, that may be the case. But I, as I have been in my writing and this quarterly report, I want to remind people that a good chunk of this move came from a change in valuation. In other words, at the beginning of March when we hit our lows, people thought the world was coming to an end, and valuations on stocks and corporate bonds reflected that. And today, I think as much as we've had a huge rally, I think valuations have got just more into a more reasonable range. And I don't know whether the market's going to go up or down from here, but I think the valuations are still pretty reasonable. In that context, maybe I'll lead in and talk about the income fund, because the valuations on bonds, particularly corporate bonds, went through exactly that pattern. First of all, let me say that the income fund had a great quarter, was up 10%. In a context where the bond market overall was up just a little over 1. That came for a couple of main reasons. One is the corporate bond area. We've talked in previous podcasts, it seems too long now, is two or three or four of them, that we were in a once-in-a-lifetime buying opportunity for corporate bonds. And indeed, that's played out this quarter as the yields on corporate bonds have come down, which means the prices on the bonds have gone up. To give you an example, the Canadian bank bonds, and this is very rough, there's different types of bonds, but bank bonds were yielding roughly 4% more than government bonds at the beginning of the quarter. They're now 2 or less. So that spread, as we call it, has halved. Some other bonds, things like General Electric, Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs, stock bonds that are also in the fund, had even bigger rallies. So a big part of that strong quarter was the corporate bond market finally, or the credit market finally thawing out. We got to spring. We may not be to summer yet as far as bonds go, but we got to spring. And that really, really impacted the fund because it has a healthy weighting in corporate bonds. But clearly, the equity exposure in the fund also helped out. As you know, over a quarter of the fund is in income-oriented, very conservative equities. And they participated with the rally. In some cases, things like the bank stocks were leaders in this rally, and that also contributed to that 10% return. Where we stand today, the fund is still about 44% in corporate bonds, so a healthy weighting there, just 30% in provincial and federal government bonds, and as I said, just over a quarter, 26-27% is in income equities. And that was a formula, obviously, that lagged in 2008 with the weak markets, but made all of that and more back in this second quarter. Going forward, Connor Clark and Lunn, our manager, is making some adjustments. When you have this big a move, you do things like lighten up on bank bonds, which had a good rally, and put that money into insurance and some infrastructure bonds where they think there's better opportunity. They're doing that, and also doing some fine-tuning on the equity side. And as we go into the third quarter of this year, the yield on the fund now on a pre-fee basis is 5.8%. Still a healthy premium over government bonds that are roughly 3.5%, but down about one full percentage point from where it was at the end of the first quarter. And that clearly reflects the price moves of both the corporate bonds and the equities. So, Scott, I think that pretty much covers it for the income fund. It was certainly one of the highlights of the quarter, but we don't think it's over yet. We think this fund can still continue to perform pretty well going forward.
Thanks, Tom. I'll start off with the equity fund here. Just some general comments on the market. North American markets rebounded pretty sharply in the quarter, as you mentioned, led by the TSX, which was up 20%. The S&P 500 and the MSCI World Index were both up 16%. That's in local currency terms. The loonie, however, did gain some ground against both of those currencies. It was up about 8% versus the U.S. dollar and a little less, about 3 or 4% against the euro. So that increase in the loonie, or that appreciation in the dollar's value, impacted returns in the quarter for Canadian investors holding foreign securities. As for the equity fund, it was up a little over 11%, a good absolute return, but again, just its returns were a little dampened because of that currency impact. That said, some of its Canadian holdings had some very sharp run-ups. Tom, as you mentioned earlier, named some of those banks. Manulife and TD were both up 40% or more. And Research in Motion, the BlackBerry maker, was up over 50%, so a very strong quarter there. We don't have a lot of changes in the quarter to report. Rather, the manager added to select companies whose share prices didn't really have the same run-up as the overall market. These include some industrial and consumer names, companies like Administaff, Nintendo, and some energy holdings as well, the noticeable one, Birchcliff Energy. Now, the fund's mix of stocks continues to be a balance of defensive and offensive businesses. We've talked about this in past reports. CGOV likes the steady cash flows generated from some of these consumer names like Shoppers Drug Mart, CVS, Tim Hortons, and Diageo, along with the greater growth potential of holdings such as RIM, which we just spoke about, and Cisco Systems. And looking at the fund's return over the past 2 years, CGOV has done a pretty good job of steering the fund through one of the what's really been one of the worst markets over the past half century. The fund is down a little over 10% per year over those 2 years, while the TSX is down about 11% and the World Index has lost 17% per year. Speaking of that World Index, Tom, I'll pass it back to you for some comments on the Global Fund.
Well, those of you who listen to these podcasts every quarter know that I always do the Income Fund and the Global Fund, and they've been our laggards, so I give Scotty a hard time about having to do the dogs, and he gets to do the stars. But, you know, in some respects, that's reversed this quarter. The Global Fund was had a superb quarter, and it relates to something that you said, Scott, about offense or defense to offense. That's been a recurring theme on these podcasts with the Global Fund, and indeed our manager, Edinburgh Partners, has been very proactive starting back in the fall to lighten up on defensive names, also bring the cash down and move into things that are going to benefit from a growing economy. Now, that may seem like a funny thing at this stage because we don't have a growing economy, but obviously when you're investing, you have to look ahead. And so they've done that. They still have a balance like CGOV does of offense and defense, but they've been very, very proactive, and it's paid off. The fund was up just under 14% in the quarter. That's well ahead of the index, and despite that, the last year, it still is down 14% for 12 months, and that obviously reflects the weak markets of earlier this year and last year. Some of the things that have been carrying the load, technology, which is the largest sector weighting in the fund, just over a quarter of the fund, things like Baidu.com, the Chinese internet provider, Dell, or Baidu is up 70%, Dell was up 45%, TomTom, the GPS manufacturer that was pretty beaten up, a European company, was up 135. Also, some emerging market stocks. You'll remember we've been adding those to get a little bit more growth and offense in the portfolio. So Gazprom, the energy company out of Russia, up 36. And the recently added Hong Kong property manager, Sung Hung Kai, was up 40%. So we're pleased with how the portfolios bounce back here. As I said, technology is the largest position in the fund at 26%. The next largest is financials. And that was also had a big recovery this quarter, as Scott's alluded to. HSBC, UBS, Bank of America all had huge gains in the quarter. So not only is the weighting in financials a healthy one because of those price performances, but Edinburgh also added a couple of new names, Swedbank, out of Scandinavia, very cheap stock in their view, and an interesting one called Franklin Resources, which is the owner of Franklin Templeton Mutual Funds. Many people be familiar with that. This is a company, it's interesting because this is a company that Sandy Nairn, the founder of Edinburgh Partners, was at for many years, was their head of global research. Christine Montgomery, who manages our fund on behalf of Edinburgh, was there at one point working with Sandy and a couple of the other Edinburgh partners. So they know it well, And asset managers are companies that in better markets do very, very well, and it'll be interesting to see how that one plays out. Going forward, we don't see a lot of changes. I think that balance that they have in the portfolio is a good one. Cash is down to about 6%, so they have some room to do some more spending if they see opportunities. Beyond information technology and financials, the rest of the sectors are fairly balanced. Telecom at 14, energy at 9, consumer discretionary at 9, so a real nice balance across the industries. As far as geography, Europe accounts for about 35%. U.S. is right there as well. And then it drops off. The UK is 10. And interestingly, Japan is a very small weighting, just 4% of the fund. And Asia without Japan is now 13% of the fund. So Scott, this fund too has got a little over a 2-year record, and its performance has been just in line with the index, that world index we talk about. Had a disappointing start, but as we said here today, it's really played some catch up in this last 6 or 9 months.
Well, we'll close off as usual here with a discussion of the small cap fund. First, some market comments. The BMO small cap index had a breakout quarter, the biggest gain of any of the indexes. It was up nearly 26%, thanks largely to a surge in energy and resource stocks, which collectively make up about 60% of that index. The small cap fund lagged that performance. It was up just under 7%, a healthy return from an absolute perspective, but again, lagging that index by a little bit. And that was primarily because the portfolio is light in those commodity-driven stocks. Now, that said, its holdings in Major Drilling Group and Total Energy Services were strong contributors to performance, and the manager did add a junior oil company to the fund in the quarter, which we'll talk about shortly. But on balance, those energy holdings make up a small portion of the portfolio. Where the majority of the fund's assets are concentrated are in less cyclical companies. These are names like Badger Income Fund, Stantec, and the Northwest Company. Many of these industrial and consumer-related stocks were passed over in the quarter and didn't enjoy the same run-up as some of those resource stocks. The manager, Witherich & Company, also likes to keep some high-octane stocks in the portfolio. We've touched on these in past quarters. Presently, they include Hanfeng Evergreen and Evertz Technologies. Hanfeng slipped a little in the quarter, while Evertz gained 25%, so in line with the market. We don't have a lot of changes to report this quarter. The one energy stock that was added was Gran Tierra Energy, which is a Calgary-based junior oil company that operates out of South America. Witherich is also in the process of adding another stock to the portfolio right now. We're not going to discuss it because it's still a small position and they're in the process of accumulating that, so we'll circle back next quarter. On the sell side, they did remove one stock, Winalta, again, another name we've spoke about in the past. Witherich still really likes the company. He admires the entrepreneur behind it, but he does have concerns over its balance sheet. Given the economic climate, fears they may have to restructure, so he thought it was wise to exit that stock at this point. As for performance, we spoke a little bit about the outset about how the fund lagged the index in the quarter. That's going to happen from time to time. Obviously, this is a non-benchmark-oriented fund. Its composition by nature is to look nothing like the index. So while that was a bit of a negative this quarter, since the fund's inception, or at least over the past 2 years, that has paid good dividends for investors. The fund is down a little over 12% per year over those 2 years, while the small cap index is down over 20% a year. So on that note, Tom, I'll pass it back to you for some closing comments.
Scott, I don't have much to add. Clearly, we're delighted that the markets have rebounded the way they have, both in the bond and equity side, and the funds have followed along. We don't know where it's going to go from here. We can't call it in the short term, but we would encourage our clients to stick to their long-term plan going forward. I want to thank you for listening. I'm Tom Bradley, joined by Scott Ronalds here, and we encourage you to follow our blog on steadyhand.com and listen to future podcasts, which we'll post on that blog. Thank you.